This is Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linelli on Lightning Radio.
I've played in, coached in a few of these, and I don't know, they're tough to predict. Some have been part of some nail biters, and some it's, you know, nobody touches each other out there. So I'm not sure what's going to happen other than the fact that there's probably two storylines everybody's looking for, and some TV networks have picked this game up as because of the anticipation of something happening. So I think if on a night where there's not a ton going on, this is probably one there will be a lot of eyes on.
Yeah, maybe. You know, John Cooper talking about, you know, maybe what to expect tonight. More importantly, I mean, let's face it. This is about Nikita Kucherov tonight. Who cares about the game?
Now, and some Austin of you may Matthews. Disagree.
And Austin? Well, I don't care about Austin Matthews. You know, good for him, but whatever. And we know who the Lightning are playing, which is something we're going to dive into. Because, boy, did I get some tweets on X about that matchup compared to what I was hoping for.
Yeah, but you were doing your Pittsburgh impersonation. Why a Penguins fan would be chirping you if the Lightning had seen the Bruins and lost to the Bruins. That was the scenario that you were playing out, and that is not going to happen in the first round because the Lightning are not playing the Boston Bruins.
Lightning and Panthers, boy, oh boy, is that going to get people fired up. It is Power Lunch on Lightning Radio. Greg Linelli with you, along with radio voice of the Lightning, Dave Mishkin.
You said,
Steve
just for the record, though.
Please, please.
You would have liked to have avoided Florida or Carolina in the first round.
Heck yeah. And anybody who says differently, I don't trust you.
I don't know what Chris Kranz is going to say, but he's sitting right next to me.
Well, I know.
He might disagree. I don't know.
Well, if he does, he'd be wrong. And I'll let him know. Kranz with us here
and Steve
to start
Rushing.
The show.
Sorry, I interrupted you. And Austin
No, you're
Wright.
Fine.
We got a whole party here in the studio.
We do. Hit us up on X, at Bolts Radio. Kranz with us here to start because we wanted to get his perspective, not only tonight, but it's good we have a playoff opponent to preview a bit. And Kranz, great to be with you. And I think we were all watching last night how things were going to unfold. And then, you know, you look on X and people have the little banner already, Lightning and Panthers game one. And listen, you want to dive right into the playoffs. There is no better way to do it than your biggest rival. And I've got to think that is going to be must-watch TV for those who want to take that all in.
Yeah, I mean, the first round is always, you know, probably the most exciting of all the playoff rounds too. It's always, you know, everyone's amped up. There's a lot of physicality. You know, maybe the structure comes in a little bit more as the playoffs roll along and teams kind of settle down a little bit. But I mean, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited to watch the matchup. I mean, Florida to me, you know, I think they've been right there with New York as the best team in the conference this year. I think Boston had a great start, but I think Florida has a little bit more depth than Boston does. And New York, I mean, they're dangerous too. I mean, I would argue that they're right in that same tier as Florida. Obviously, they have more points, but it should be fun. Like I said, I think the first round is always very exciting with all the physicality and things like that. And the rivalry, obviously, across the state helps even more. So going to be must-see TV. It'll be fun too with fans. I think probably, you know, Florida has their fan base has grown a lot over the years, obviously, with them going to the final as well. I think when we played them earlier in the year, that was maybe the most fans I've seen of theirs in our building. So their fans will be coming up here. Our fans will be going down there. It's really exciting. I'm excited to see how it all pans out because they've really been a great team all year. And I think this is probably the deepest team they've ever had, I would say.
How high is your level of concern about the injury statuses of Mott and Glendening?
Well, it's high because I don't know what their status is really, other than, you know, they're telling us they're day to day. So we don't know how that's going to pan out. Glendening's injury certainly didn't look great. Mott, you know, I think I maybe have a little more hope for him, but again, I don't know anything, but if those guys can't go, I think it's a huge loss. I mean, Glendening's been very good this year. Gabby and I talked about it on Into the Blue. I mean, it's not a slight against Pierre Edward Belmar, but he's been a really big upgrade. He scored 10 goals. Obviously, he's been great in the faceoff circle, good on the PK with Mott. And, you know, the Lightning's success over this past month and a half, really, a lot of it's been the PK. And Coop's pointed to that a lot. We know how important special teams are come playoff time. And, you know, those two guys have been huge on the PK for the Lightning, as have Cirelli and Hagel. It's good to have both those guys, hopefully. But they'll miss those guys if they don't have them. So we'll see how it goes. But hopefully at least one of them is able to come back, if not both.
Chris Kren joining us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Radio. And look, I actually think the Lightning, they are the underdogs. They're going to be starting on the road. And I don't mind that. You know, you hear a lot of that talk about starting on the road's better. And I think there's truth to that. Although I think there is, it is fun to jump on a team early if you can put them down in a hole 0-2 heading into game three. You get a chance to play in front of your fans. You're building off of that crowd, and you have a tendency. You see this a lot. The home team through the first 10 minutes of game one or any game they're hosting, that usually they're tilting the ice. I think starting on the road, the Lightning are not immune to it. They understand how to play that way. I also think they won't be rattled. To me, it is going to be interesting to see if they're able to make the Panthers uncomfortable, and everybody's going to be talking about getting a split, and that is true. I think how they're going to be able to handle the Panthers' speed but size a bit is going to be really interesting, because you can't afford to have blown assignments, obviously, in any game, but especially the Panthers, back off as a defenseman, make poor decision in your own end. You know they're going to come hard with forechecking. You know guys like Tkachuk and Bennett are going to come hard. And the Lightning, how they handle themselves, I think, Renner, in their own zone, is going to go a long way in how they're able to handle this Panthers team in round one.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's where it all starts with this team, and it's been that way all year, is their own zone. And, you know, you mentioned some of those guys. Florida, they do forecheck hard, and they have a really, really strong top six, and their bottom six is good too. Some big guys, physical guys. You know, I have to give credit to Matthew Tkachuk. I honestly think since he's come to Florida, he's done a pretty good job of getting under the skin of the Lightning in times that they've played. He's done a nice job of that, and he's a great player. And obviously, they have Reinhart on the power play, who's been excellent this year. I think he's up to like 56 goals now on the year, and they add Tarasenko, so they have some more scoring touch there as well. And their back end's good too. You know, you look at Forsling, he's like plus 56 or something on the season, something crazy like that, which obviously is, you know, they've scored a lot of goals and they've been good defensively as a team, but they're solid. They have depth. And you're right. When we saw them come in here and beat the Lightning pretty handily, you know, a few weeks ago, they hemmed the Lightning in their own zone. They were forcing turnovers, and they were all over them. And the Lightning, they smothered the Lightning. And I thought that coming out of that game, I was thinking, man, I hope they don't have to play them in the playoffs. But then they go down there a few weeks later, and I thought they played them really well when they went into their building. And just to touch on the starting on the road, I think the Lightning prefer to start on the road. I think Coop prefers that. You get away from your home, you know, it brings the whole team together, and the pressure's on the home team going into game one. So, again, I think there will be some Lightning fans in the building, which will help too. It's not a lot of travel, which is good. And just excited to see how that first game goes, because like I said, when the Panthers came here that game, they really dominated the Lightning in that game. And then I thought the Lightning had a great response in the last game down there. So should be a great series.
You never know what you're going to get in the first round relating to penalties. Now, this drives Greg crazy. He feels that, and a lot of people feel this way, that games are officiated differently in the postseason, more is let go. But it doesn't always happen in the first round, although sometimes it does.
Yeah.
What I will say is you don't see a huge disparity. If there are a lot of power plays, it's usually for both teams. If there are not a lot of power plays, it's for both teams.
Yeah.
What do you think benefits the Lightning more, understanding that Glendening and Mott right now are question marks? Would you like to see a series with lots of power plays for both teams, or would it benefit the Lightning more to have this series played more 5-on-5?
Well, I think the Lightning's power play is their biggest weapon, right? I mean, they've scored a ton of goals on the power play this year. It's obviously been extremely successful for years now, and they've struggled at 5-on-5 at times this year, and Florida's been very good there. But then you look at Florida, and I mentioned Reinhart, and I think he has like almost 30 power play goals on the year. And it's, yeah, you know, they have a very dangerous power play themselves. And without Glendening and Mott, if that's the case, it is very dangerous. But I do think that the Lightning, you know, you look back to the series, really a few of the series they played against the Panthers over the past few years, the power play has been really good against them in the playoffs. They've had a lot of success that way. With the way Kucherov's going and his ability on the power play and just them as a whole, that unit, they're going to have to take advantage of that when they get the chances. So I wouldn't mind seeing it go both ways. I think the Lightning penalty kill has been great, right? And we'll see if they can do it without those two guys, if they're unable to go. But, you know, I think it would probably benefit the Lightning to have more of that special teams. But it is interesting to see how it goes, because I remember the Colorado year, I think those first few games in Toronto, or really around the league, they were calling a ton of penalties and they weren't really letting things go playoff style. Then as it went along, more was let go. And you're right, it is. It's kind of interesting. You don't know what you're going to get going into those games and what's going to get let go and what's playoff hockey, what isn't. But I do think for the most part, it does kind of even out, it seems. They do a good job of that. But whether that's a good job or not, I don't know. But I think it would benefit the Lightning to have some special teams in this series, even though Florida does have a great power play and their penalty kill is good too. But with the weapon that their power play is, I think it would help them.
Chris Kren joins us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Radio. Where would the Lightning have the advantage in that series against the Panthers? Is it obvious in net, or do you feel like it goes beyond that, Krenner?
Well, look, I mean, Bobrovsky's had a really good year, and he's played the Lightning really well, too. I think he's a guy that, you know, in the past, we've seen with him, I think there's been times where he's played poorly and then it's gotten to his head a little bit, but it seems like he's kind of gotten past that step of his career. And obviously Vasi's great in the playoffs too, but you know, I can't help but think that do the Lightning have a little bit of space inside the Panthers' head? You know, they beat them both times in the playoffs. The most recent time they swept them. But then too, like you look back at that series and I think Coop even said, it might have been before the final, but I think he said that was their toughest series going into it, despite the fact that, you know, they swept them. So he didn't feel like it was necessarily, he didn't think that 4-0, I guess, in that series was reflective of the way it was played. But I do think, you know, the Lightning, I think the power play, like I said, it's to me, them and Edmonton, probably the best two in the league, and Florida's is very good as well. But I think the Lightning have an advantage there. And again, I can't help but wonder if the Lightning just have a little bit of headspace within the Panthers, because they haven't been able to beat them in the postseason yet. And, you know, the Lightning have won their cups. They have that pedigree that the Panthers obviously got there. So then you think, too, is it their time now? They got there. It was a great run for them. And we saw the Lightning, you know, they had to lose to win and take those next steps. So are the Panthers going to get there? We'll see. But, I mean, I think the Lightning have a good shot against them. And I do think, too, playing against the Panthers seems to bring the best out in the Lightning. You know, that John Cooper likes them to be physically engaged, and he wants them to kind of be the bully to a certain extent. Florida likes to play that style too, but I think when the Lightning are physically engaged like that, they're at their best, and we know that's going to be the case with this matchup. And to be honest, like I kind of like the Lightning's, you know, toughness in regards to this series. You know, Florida has the guys like Lomberg and Gadjevich and Mikola back there, but, you know, I think the Lightning have done a nice job with, you know, Tanner Janot will be a name, I think, that will come up in that series. And there's advantages on each side, but Florida's just been so good all year. That's the thing, is they've been a powerhouse all year versus last year when, you know, they're coming into the playoffs, they were fighting for their life going into it. And so it's going to be interesting to see. But I do think the Lightning, you know, I think Boston probably would have been a better matchup. But like I said, Florida brings the best out of them, and it's going to be a great, entertaining series regardless. I think the Lightning will give them a good run.
I think a lot of teams enter the playoffs with some question marks. I mean, there's no perfect team in the NHL. And yeah, had it been the Bruins, and the Bruins still have these questions, just they're going to be facing them taking on Toronto. Like, their goaltending rotation, is it going to be a rotation? How do they bounce back after losing in the first round last year, et cetera, et cetera? Toronto, they won a series last year. Can they take a step forward this year?
No.
Do they have enough behind their top guys, which has always been kind of the overriding question with the Maple Leafs? What are the questions surrounding the Panthers, if you feel there are any, for a team that was kind of an upstart team? And like, they hit every leg green last year once they were down 3-1 against Boston. Like, they won every overtime game, they won every 50-50 game until the final, but they earned it too, and you mentioned their terrific regular season. Do you feel there are any kind of pressing questions surrounding the Panthers heading into the series?
I'm sure there has to be, right? But I haven't followed them too closely throughout the regular season. But, I mean, you know, I look at their back end, and Forsling and Montour is a great pair, and they're going to have Ekblad coming back. They said he'll be ready for game one. We'll see how healthy he is, if he's, you know, fully 100% ready to go. But, you know, I look at their bottom four D right now, and obviously, as I said, Ekblad will be back, but it's Mikola, Kulikov, Mahura, and Balinskis. And I think he would probably be the one to come out for Ekblad. But
right.
To be honest, I think the Lightning can take advantage of that. I think that's probably the one area where they're a little susceptible. And I think Mikkola was a good pickup for them. But, you know, in games that the Lightning have played against them, I haven't thought that he was this extremely terrifying, you know, second pair guy that you can't get through. And Forsling has obviously had a fantastic season. And I think Montour has been great for them as well. Especially, you know, he was the guy that they were able to get rid of Mackenzie Weegar because they had him. Mm-hmm. And but I do think their bottom 4D is an area that the Lightning can hopefully expose. And then you look at their bottom 6 forwards. I mean, they've been solid for them all year. And I think the Lightning at times have struggled with depth scoring. So that'll be an interesting matchup to watch. But I don't, again, with their bottom 4 or bottom 2 lines up front, I don't necessarily look at that and feel the Lightning are severely outmatched here. But their top 6 is really good, as is the Lightning's. I mean, Tarasenko, Barkov, Reinhart, Verhaeghe, Bennett, Tkachuk. That's a very, very solid top 6, and the Lightning are going to have to pick and choose, you know, who's your shutdown line going against, because we know Barkov can shut guys down, but that second line, Verhaeghe, Bennett, and Tkachuk, that's a dangerous line. So they're pretty solid all around, and now they have the experience of winning playoff series and scoring big goals, as you mentioned, and going far. So very, very excited to see how this one goes, especially because I feel like everyone thought it was going to be Boston for the past week almost, and yeah. Then you know, now it's them. So, but I think, again, like, just the entertainment value alone should make it a great series. And, you know, I really do. I think the Lightning, I think the way that they were able to play during that run from March 9th, that win against Philly and that point streak they went on, they faltered a little bit recently, but I think it's human nature to take your foot off the gas a little bit now. And but the way they were playing during that point streak, if they can get to that, they're going to be tough to beat.
Chris Kren joins us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Radio. We've kind of touched on it a little bit, but where are you most concerned when it comes to the Lightning? Beyond health, when the playoffs begin, and maybe specific to this Panthers team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be the back end, probably, with, you know, the injuries they have there, with obviously Sergachev going down, and then when Fleury goes down too, they're trying to figure out that left side. And you know, they've had Perbix playing on the left side, you know, alongside Chernak the past few games, and it's hard. Like, I think, you know, he had the radio interview the other night during the intermission, and, you know, he acknowledged that it's tough. It's a lot different being a righty on that left side, and we'll see if Fleury's healthy enough to go. He's been skating in the red jersey, and I don't even know if he's healthy enough, if he'll be in the lineup or not. I think he's played pretty well when he's been in there. But to me, that's the biggest concern for me is the Lightning's bottom 4D. I think Hedman's been great this year with Radish. And I think Chernak's been good too when he's been playing, but Lilleberg and Dumba, I thought they had a little bit of a tough night the other night. But I think that they can be good. You know, they picked up Dumba for a reason, and I think Lilleberg's been solid as well. But I think if there's one area that there could be a little bit concerned, it's probably that, just based off, you know, as I mentioned, they have a really strong top 6, and you can't have Hedman and Radish out there against both lines all the time. So they're going to have to figure it out with another one of those deep pairings. Chernak's a great shutdown guy. Is it going to be Perbix next to him? Or is it going to be someone else? And then the question, too, is are they going to call anyone up from Syracuse? They have Phil Myers down there. They have Max Crozier, who I thought played really well when he was up here. But both of those guys are right-handed. So it's kind of an interesting spot. I'm very excited to see what the Lightning do with that. And if Perbix stays on the left side or if Fleury can play, does he come in? That'll be interesting to watch. But I think if there's an area of concern, that would probably be it for me.
Last one for me, Chris. What did you make of how the crazy wild card race unfolded and ended last night?
It was fun. I couldn't believe Detroit did it again after doing it the night before. Yep. And then just the whole fiasco with Torts pulling the goalie when it sounds like it didn't even matter at that point, because Detroit had got a point. Washington ends up getting in with that crazy goal differential. But to me, I just thought, as I was watching, I'm like, man, what a great night for the NHL.
Yeah.
There was a lot of eyes on those games, and they lived up to the hype. There was drama with Perron scoring with less than 5 seconds left, and, you know, the Philly and the Washington game was close all night, and even the Florida-Toronto game. You know, Florida was down 2-0, and they scored 4 straight in the second, and were really playing. But not only that, but that game was very physical. I'm not sure if either of you guys watched it, but that, you know, it wasn't quite playoff intensity. That's what Sheldon Keefe said during his interview. But I think those are two teams that thought they may be going against each other in the first round. And it was very physical. So kind of interested to see how that goes tonight with Toronto, you know, obviously being on the second end of a back-to-back, and they're not playing the Lightning. But are they going to try to get ramped up here? And and play really physical? I'm not sure. And I don't think Cooperly knows either. I don't know if anyone expected that last night even. So a lot of crazy times, but I think that was the main takeaway for me is just, wow, it's a great time for the NHL. I think with all the stuff going on with, you know, Matthews tonight potentially scoring 70, Kucherov potentially 100 assists, McDavid 100 assists, the year McKinnon's having, it's been a very exciting regular season, and there's been drama off the ice too with, you know, stuff with Tortorella and other stuff like that. So it's, you know, the Arizona stuff too. Like there's just been a lot of storylines across the NHL this year, and I think TNT's done a great job covering them. ESPN's done well too, and just seems like there's a lot of eyes on the NHL. So I think that's a great thing, and excited for tonight. I'm very excited to see if Matthews plays. I have to imagine he plays. I can't imagine they sit him out, but. You know, if he does play, that, you know, that's hockey history right in front of us, potentially, with Cooch going for 100 and him going for 70. You don't get a lot of games like that. So two extreme talents that it should be a fun game to watch for that reason. And let's see if the Lightning can kind of start ramping their game up a little bit. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure if they're too concerned about it, to be honest. I think that they feel comfortable knowing that when the playoffs start, they're going to be able to get back to where they need to be. And I'm not sure how much momentum really does carry over from the regular season into the playoffs, unless you're kind of in a situation like Florida last year where you're scratching and clawing until the very end.
Right.
If Cooch gets 100 assists with his performance tonight, does he put his stamp on the MVP?
I mean, I think yes.
Hell of a question, huh?
Should.
Stamp is a bold word, Greg.
Yeah, I'm a
bold man. You know that.
Obviously, I've been clamoring for it all year. Like, I think you think he should win, but it's tough because, you know, it's an award that's voted on by media, and at the end of the day, you know, Cooch has 4 more points than McKinnon right now. He's got one more game to go. Both of them do. But it is really hard because I do think it's just human nature to, you know, if you're a writer out west, I'm not sure how much you watch Lightning. If you're a writer out east, I'm not sure how much you watch Edmonton or how much you watch Colorado. And, you know, I think there's bias. It's just human nature. Like, some writers see Kucherov way more than they see McKinnon. And I think that the one thing that might go against Cooch a little bit is McKinnon and McDavid are both these high-flying, speedy, powerful forwards that are very flashy and make these highlight plays, whereas Cooch is slow, methodical, slows the play down, is able to, you know, when I talked to him over the summer, that was one thing he said that has really transformed his game, is he's like, you know, if I do these little things and I give myself half a second more time, the game is slow. And he talked about how important that is for him, is the game slowed down and he's able to really play at the pace he wants to and control the pace. And I think if you watch him, it's incredible to watch, but for the average fan that maybe doesn't watch a lot of both guys on a nightly basis, you know, McKinnon probably has a little bit more of that flair to him, just the power and, you know, galloping through the neutral zone. And same with McDavid. But to me, I think, you know, you look at all the different numbers that are there for Cooch, over 50% of the goals he's factored in on. And, you know, if he gets the 100 assists, fifth player to do it, and he'll probably finish with 10 more points than McDavid if he does. I think, you know, you look at the point disparity between him and Point, a guy that scored 45 goals, I think, now. And there's a lot of, but you can make a lot of the same arguments for McKinnon. There's a lot of those stats that you can rattle off. But to me, I think he should be the MVP. I think especially if he hits the 100 assist mark, which I don't think, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago many people thought would really be a possibility. I think he should win. And I do think that over the past maybe week and a half, 2 weeks, it feels like more eyes are being opened across the hockey world to him really being the top guy with McKinnon. Despite the fact that McDavid got 100 assists. I just hope that those three guys are the top three. I think even with Matthews getting 70, you know, I just think that there's so many amazing accomplishments across the league this year, but those three guys, they've been in a completely different stratosphere, and I just think that those three guys probably deserve to be the top three.
Craner, we appreciate you, buddy. We will catch you tonight.
Thank you,
for
Chris.
The last regular season game.
See you tonight. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. Chris Craner. Joining us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Radio. If you want to react to anything Craner had to say, you can at Bolts Radio on X. Lightning and Panthers, game one in Sunrise. Partner, where do we want to go from there? Do you want to get into what we're going to see tonight? You want to get into the matchup?
I want to piggyback on his last answer because you asked him about Cooch and the Hart Trophy, and he said Cooch might be opening some eyes more recently. Did you see the article I sent you, Greg Wyshynski?
I did.
So he feels Cooch. He's going to vote for Cooch. He has a vote. Pretty sure he has a vote. I mean, he's a writer for ESPN. He should have a vote. And he made the case for Kucherov. So it's not like everyone in the national media is saying MacKinnon, 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 MacKinnon. Oh, by the way, McDavid. And Kucherov is some afterthought. So we'll see. I still maintain it's going to be a split vote. And it's going to be close. And it may come down to either who gets the most first place votes or potentially who gets the most first and second place votes. Maybe the person that gets the most first place votes gets a bunch of third and fourths as well. If Matthews, presuming Matthews is not on the top three for a lot of voters, and he very well may be, you know, somebody who gets the most first place votes may have a bunch of fourths in there on some other ballots, and that might make the difference. So it's kind of like the regular season in the NHL. It's based on points. So you get 10 for a first place vote and 7 yeah. for a second place vote, and then I think 5, 3, and 1. So, interesting.
What was I didn't read through the whole article. What was his main point?
Well, it was a long article. So, I mean, he had in there about the percentage of goals. He had in there about the gap, right, between Kucherov and Point, and said that gap is the equivalent of the point totals for the year of these following players. I think Toffoli was in there and Michael Bunting and players like that's the season for them, the gap between Kucherov and Point. And he kind of made the point that Vasilevsky has had an un-Vasilevsky type of year, so where would the Lightning be without Kucherov? Is kind of, if I were to sum it up. And I think that that's a fair argument to make. But he also acknowledged that there's no wrong vote. Like, he's not saying, and he even said this, I am not saying that a vote for Nathan MacKinnon is the wrong vote. He just feels that Kucherov is the correct choice for him. So I do not think this is going to be like a clean sweep, though. I mean, we're going to have a lot of different opinions and different votes. I do want to mention we should get into this before the show ends. We don't need to do it right now. This is very unusual for me. I usually wait until the end of the regular season, not just for the Lightning, but for all teams. I submitted my Jack Adams vote. So we can get into that if you want. I was like,
Let's dive into it.
Well, I was like, on the one hand, I was saying, these are my three, and I'm not going to change my mind. Like, whatever happens tonight and tomorrow, it's not going to change my mind. So I might as well send it in now. On the other hand, I will tell you, I mean, I've had a vote since I've been in the NHL as a broadcaster over 20 years. This might have been the hardest year to pick three. And I think Rick Tocchet's going to win it. I saw a poll where the poll had, and I don't know who they were. I think they were talking to writers, actually. It might have been through NHL.com or maybe ESPN. So if that was the case, they weren't talking to the broadcasters who were actually casting the ballot. But Tocchet was the projected winner, and I have no problem with that. And I did put Rick Tocchet first. And the reason I put Rick Tocchet first... The Vancouver Canucks have been kind of like, in a way, what we have talked about with the Ottawa Senators and Buffalo Sabres the last couple of years. They have all of this talent on their roster, and they repeatedly underachieved. And usually it was related to allowing too many goals. But it's not like they just got Quinn Hughes. It's not like they just got Pettersson or Besser or Miller. They have had these players. So what changed? How do they go from a non-playoff team to first in their division and potentially first in their conference? To me, it's a fairly direct line. And Rick Tocchet should get credit for that. So this is an example of kind of the three markers: excellence, huge improvement, overcoming obstacles. Tocchet checks two of those boxes. Overall excellence. Checking their goals against right now. They finished fifth in goals against, like the lowest goals against. This is a team that had a big, big problem keeping the puck out of their net, and they're among the top scoring teams in the league. They finished sixth in scoring. They have been solid throughout, but also their point improvement was staggering. So it's kind of like what Wyshynski was saying about the heart. Like, if people didn't vote for Tockett, I have no argument with that. But nobody can argue with me for putting Tockett first. This was a little bit out of the box for me for second, and I vacillated on this. And probably in the last week, I decided that he was going to get my vote, and that's Knobloch for Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned him kind of like a couple weeks ago.
And I think so I'm generally opposed to voting for a coach who was not behind the bench for the full year. Knobloch wasn't. But he was behind the bench for most of the year. It's not like he swooped in, you know, halfway through the year. And like Waugh, for example, like if Patrick Waugh gets votes, like, well, he got the Islanders into the playoffs. To me, I would never even consider Patrick Waugh because he was only there for, what, half a season or so? Knobloch was there most of the year. And this was the argument I made about why maybe McDavid shouldn't get the Hart Trophy. McDavid was a member of the Edmonton Oilers when they were flailing. Flailing. Now, he might have been banged up a little bit. He wasn't producing as many points. When they took off as a team, he took off individually. He got his 100 assists. Great accomplishment. But I think I said to you on the air, on our show, was it a week ago? Who's the most valuable person on the Edmonton Oilers this year? It's Chris Knobloch.
Mm-hmm.
He took over behind the bench and orchestrated a staggering turnaround. Staggering. I mean, up until the final last night for Vancouver, Edmonton was still alive to win the division. And remember how far down they were at the start of the year. He completely changed whatever was wrong in Edmonton. And you might say, well, look at all the talent he has. Yeah, but that same talent was doing absolutely nothing at the start of the year. So he got my second vote. And then the one that I had the hardest time with was picking third. And I don't think that whoever picks third in their ballot, usually that coach is not going to win it, right? But I was like, do I give it to a coach whose team, like Peter Laviolette, they won the President's Trophy, or Rick Bowness in Winnipeg because they had such a great defensive year, or Pete DeBoer in Dallas where they have one of the top teams in the league, or how about one of the upstart teams like the Flyers, the Capitals? You can make an argument for Torts even though they missed the playoffs. You can certainly make an argument for Spencer Carberry. They made the playoffs. But ultimately, when I look at the Capitals and I see their minus 37 goal differential, it's like confounding how they even got into the playoffs. So I decided to go with the coach of the team that impressed me the most when I saw them this year live. And this is probably not going to make Lightning fans feel very easy when I say this. The very best team that I saw live this year in three games against the Tampa Bay Lightning was the Florida Panthers. They were the most impressive team that I saw. They beat the Lightning, I will say, handily twice at Amalie, even though the one game was 3-2, but I didn't feel like the Lightning were outplayed in that game, and they got blown out in the second game 9-2. And I understand what Chris Kren said. The Lightning played better when they went down to Sunrise a couple of weeks later. Let's not forget, Greg, shots in that game were 50-16, Florida. So the three games that the Panthers played against the Lightning, the team at that point may not be the team that the Lightning are going to be seeing in game one of the playoffs. The Panthers went through a little bit of a rough patch before the last week of the regular season. I don't know where their team is at right now, but I'm asked to vote on what my eyes told me, or at least what I can gather from following the league. And I said, Paul Maurice got my third place vote based on what I saw from the Florida Panthers this year. And Chris even said, like, they don't really appear to have a weakness, right? The coach deserves credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
They actually right now are number one in team defense.
Yeah.
By a whisker, lower than Winnipeg. Their power play is good. Their penalty kill is good. Their 5-on-5 is good. And I asked Chris a question open-ended, like, do they have a weakness? And he was like, well, maybe they're bottom end of their D core. I'm not sure that they have any glaring weaknesses. And that is a credit to how well they have been coached this year. So those are my three votes. I thought long and hard about giving Coop a vote, and I thought if I give Coop a vote, honestly, John Cooper is not going to win the Coach of the Year award this year. He's not. Has he done a very good job behind the bench? He has. the Lightning had a lot of turnover. They were missing Vasilevsky for the first 20 games. He had to get them to buy in and play a lot better defensively in the second half of the year than in the first half of the year. He did all of those things, and the Lightning made the playoffs. But you only get three, and those are the three that I picked.
So
I was going to have Torts on the ballot maybe up until the point that they really stumbled and they missed the playoffs. And to
but
me,
everything you just went through, that's fair. I actually think you shouldn't be on the list if you're not in the playoffs. I don't care if you went from
and it's a regular season award. We've talked about this. Like the team that wins the Stanley Cup, that coach maybe didn't get one vote for coach of the year. And you're like, why is that? Well, we vote at the end of the regular season. It's a regular season award. If it's a regular season award for that regular season, the one that just was completed, if you miss the playoffs, it's kind of hard to convince me to vote for you.
I think what you said is fair. I actually think everything you laid out for Coop, I don't know how you couldn't, and I respect your opinion, I'm not sure how people couldn't put him in the top three. You know, it's a little bit like the Cooch effect. People don't know enough about him. They're just starting to wake up. I mean, what's the excuse with John Cooper for this year? And I'll lay it out for you. Everything you just said.
Yep.
And this team was flawed. It maybe took promoting young players from Syracuse. By the way, you've got to be able to integrate them in as a coach to perform. And the trade deadline to maybe get to a point where people felt comfortable about the Lightning making the playoffs. Before the year began, there were people who had the Lightning maybe as a fringe playoff team. Whether you agreed with it or not, that's debatable. But in the perception, in the eyes of a lot of people, that's where the Lightning were. And to have the season they had, to be in a playoff spot, understanding then, do a deep dive with some of the injuries, the turnover that they've had over the years, why wouldn't you put John Cooper in the running, or at least maybe even make him a guy that you could say, yeah, he should be getting votes as coach of the year. Andrew Burnett could be a guy you put in there.
I didn't mention him. Absolutely.
What were the expectations for Nashville?
You know, but Nashville, here's what I'll say about the Predators. So on the side of the coin where I can understand why Andrew Burnett is not getting votes, Nashville basically is kind of finishing around the same spot that they typically have finished in, which is kind of right above the playoff cut line if they're making the playoffs. And historically, they've gone out in the first round. We'll see what happens this year. So they didn't have a marked improvement from some of these other teams that they have had recently, let's say. They had the 1 year where they finished first and they lost to Winnipeg in the second round. That was, what, 2018. The argument for Brunette is that he did orchestrate a philosophy change, and they were one of the best teams in the second half of the year. And he deserves credit for that. But I think I come down on Brunette same way I came down in not putting Coop in my top three. Like, if I had more than three votes, John Cooper probably is getting my fourth vote, right? We only get three. And I felt it was not – I was not being impartial enough if I left Tocchet or Knobloch off the list. And I gave you my reasons for putting Paul Maurice on
And that's
there.
Fair. And that's fair. I'm curious what other people think. At Bolts Radio on X, because I think it's an interesting topic. And look, for me – I don't really care who wins coach of the year.
Yeah, I mean, this is just stuff
for debate,
right?
Like, it's more of like, come on, you know, John Cooper, one of the best coaches maybe we're going to see of all time.
It's not a lifetime achievement award.
No,
he should have
won
it. Yeah, look, I've had him first before in past years. I had him first in 1819 when they won 62. There's no reason John Cooper should not have won the award in 1819. I understand Barry Trotz helped the Islanders improve drastically defensively, but John Cooper was the head coach of the team that won 62. I mean, give me a break.
Has he won the coach of the year?
The voters got that one wrong that year. He hasn't. You want to make the argument that Coop should have won it the year the Lightning went from a non-playoff team to a playoff team as well, 13-14. He got votes.
I'm going to say it.
I put him first that year, too.
Look, I'm going to say it, and it's going to offend some people. It's a joke of an award. If John Cooper hasn't won it at this point, it's a joke of an award. Come on. He's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches we've seen. Whether you agree with that or not, the records are going to indicate that.
John Cooper's going in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so with that being said, he's had Hall of Fame, like, years. And because of that, I understand it's not a lifetime achievement, but in the moment, during those seasons, I can't take it. This isn't a reflection on you, partner. I can't take overall the voting process and the people who are doing this seriously. If you're not giving a guy who's going to go into the Hall of Fame with no questions asked a Coach of the Year award, I just don't have the awards. Just don't have them. If you want to have, you know,
fired up about my picks and you didn't even have a problem with my picks, I don't know. Your head is going to explode when you see the final tabulations for the Hart Trophy.
I won't get upset. I'm just fired up about I don't think it makes sense. More like the people who are, you know, Kucherov still doesn't get the respect he deserves. Well, why is that?
I think Coop is going to get votes. I mean, maybe I should say I'm the lightning announcer. I should have had him on there. But again, I am almost boomeranging back in the other direction because I don't want to have bias creep in. You understand what I'm saying?
You know what? Sometimes, though, you do things that are very well thought out. And if somebody's going to call you a quote-unquote homer for putting John Cooper in, that's on them. If you lay out the reasons, which you did,
I did,
why Cooper should get in, any rational human being would look at that and say, you know what, you're right. Oh, and by the way, a lot of people didn't have the Lightning making the playoffs this year, or a team who was going to limp in. So I don't think you need to, not that you are, have to, you know, worry about being a homer in that instance. You've got convictions, stick with them. And I think everything you laid out with John Cooper is the right one, just like everything we've laid out about Cooch potentially winning the MVP. And I think that actually, I don't want to say is a little bit more of a slam dunk for me than John Cooper getting votes for Coach of the Year. But like, we've been calling the numbers that Kucherov has put up over a month ago. I mean, I didn't see too many people writing or talking about the gap between him and the second leading scorer like we were on our show.
Yeah.
As to why that is probably, to me, an indication of how good of a year he's having. Because Braden Point's going to end up having a really good year, numbers-wise. I mean, the guy's what, Dave, how many goals? 44, 45?
Yeah, he's a point away from 90 50. Points.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the leading scorer for a decent amount of teams right now. Kucherov has exploded on the scene.
Kucherov is having a career year offensively. For him, it's a career year, and it's a career year for most players who have ever played in the NHL.
In a year, Dave, where they've needed him more.
Yes.
Because of everything you and I discussed about this team, just maybe not as deep, having more questions. We didn't think they weren't a playoff team. Some people went that far. But look, you're without the best goaltender in the world for the first 20 games, and your main goaltender is a guy who, you know, quite frankly, hasn't had a ton of success. You tell me how you think the Lightning are going to come out this year looking. And, you know, they kind of rode Kucherov's back on more than one occasion. And he passed with flying colors, and maybe it took this type of year for people to see how great he really is. We've been seeing it for a while, but I think this is a career year. And that career year, you need to put an exclamation point on it for him getting the MVP, because these type of years, even with a guy like Kucherov, I don't think come around as much as people think.
Well, look, I guess I'm glad I don't have to put in a vote for the Hart Trophy, because that's a very, very difficult vote as well. But
who do you think the players would vote for? I think
we're
going to
find out for the
That's more interesting.
Yeah, for the Lindsay Award to put a bow on the Jack Adams. There's what I'll say about Coop.
Yeah,
I think Coop is going to get some votes, and I do not think John Cooper is going to win.
Well,
so at the end of the day,
yeah, I agree.
Is he going to win this year? He's not. But look, I mean, like I said, we only get three, So yeah, those are the three that I picked, and I'm satisfied with the three names I put on there. I do want to get into what happened. I want to get into what we may see tonight. Tompkins looks like he's going to be starting. Coop said they may have to play short. So we knew that Cirelli and Hagel were dealing with body maintenance. I remember Hagel went into the boards hard against Washington and missed a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I don't really remember what might have happened with Cirelli. Nothing is – maybe I'm just forgetting. But, I mean, because I've been certainly keyed and clued in to the other injuries, the more significant ones, Mott, Glendening, Hayden Fleury, who was out there late in a red no-contact jersey with Sergachev and Vasilevsky. So that's why we projected and suspected Matt Tompkins is going to get the start. So I was wrong about that. I thought Vasi would want this game in advance of game one of the playoffs, which is going to take place at some point this weekend. We know the Lightning's opponent, the league has not yet released the schedule. They're going to play Saturday or Sunday for game one. We'll wait and see. I guess Vasi's like, I'm good. I played Monday. I'll take
this
time.
Does that surprise you?
A little bit, just because he's getting the 4 to 5 days. It would be either 4 days with no game or 5 days with no game, depending on when they play. But look, they talk to him, and that's what he wants to do. So good for Matt Tompkins. He's going to get another start. And then we'll see. I mean, if the Lightning are short at the forward position, and we know that Mott and Glendening are not playing, or presuming Mott is not playing, Coop said Glendening's definitely not playing, and you take out one or both of Cirelli and Hagel, the Lightning may have to go 11-7, or maybe they're going to have to play short. We'll wait and see how that unfolds. The Leafs have some injury issues, too, in that, like, Max Domi's not playing this weekend. Bobby McMahon is not playing this weekend. I don't know who they're going to start in net, but I think Wohl played last night, so maybe Samsonov gets the start tonight, and that might be one where Samsonov – remember when we talked to Nick Alberga, he thought Samsonov would be their game one starter, and if that's the case, maybe Samsonov wants this game on a Wednesday if they're going to open against the Bruins. The Bruins and Maple Leafs are opening Saturday because the Celtics are playing at home on Sunday. I'd heard that when it was looking like it was Lightning-Bruins. So the Leafs have a game one that's going to happen on Saturday, and – their game one starter maybe wants the game tonight, and then he'll have a couple of days to get ready for game one. So we'll see. But Kucherov is going to play, looking for assist number 100, and Austin Matthews is going to play as well, I'm guessing, looking for goal number 70. That is what is happening tonight. Last night, this race was a wild one. And remember we talked yesterday about how Philadelphia needed a regulation win over Washington. So if the game was tied, they might pull the goalie in the third to try and win the game in regulation. Moments before they did that, and T.J. Oshie scored an open net goal, empty net goal, and that basically put Washington into the playoffs because 1 point for Washington last night might not have been enough. They needed two to clinch. They got the second point because they were playing the Flyers, and the Flyers needed a regulation win, and the game was tied. So Oshie scores an empty net goal that turns out to be the game winner. But the Flyers pulled the goalie literally like within a minute of Detroit scoring in the last seconds in Montreal to pull off another amazing comeback to force overtime. Once that game went to overtime, Detroit got a point and the Flyers were eliminated. So had the Flyers known that they were definitely eliminated, maybe they wouldn't have pulled the goalie. Maybe they would have anyway. I don't know. Maybe they're just like, if it's tied, we're pulling the goalie. But it wasn't only the improbability of all of that stuff happening. It was the timing of it. Like, Detroit got the tying goal literally with, like, under 5 seconds left. And it happened almost simultaneously at the same time as the Flyers pulling the goalie because they needed a regulation win. I mean, I don't know that you could have scripted that in an any more unusual way. So the long and short of it is once Washington scored the empty net goal and then hung on and won the game and got the 2 points, like the Flyers pulled the goalie again to try and get the game tied. Had they tied the game and eventually won in overtime of the shootout, it wouldn't have helped the Flyers, but it would have helped Detroit. Washington won the game 2-1. Detroit was eliminated. The Red Wings ended up winning in a shootout. So the Red Wings in back-to-back games were down to Montreal, had to rally late, score six attacker goals, and eventually won, which is a great story for them. But how much does it sting that they basically got eliminated because Washington scored an empty net goal in a tie game?
Yeah.
To clinch a playoff spot. So Detroit was eliminated, Philadelphia was eliminated, and the Penguins were eliminated, sitting and watching, because Washington got the victory. So the Caps are going to play the Rangers in the first round.
How about that? I mean, I think, you know, the Rangers are going to have a huge advantage in that. But again, the Caps are playing with house money, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no Nick Jensen, presumably. I mean, yeah. They've won a couple of games without him, but they're taking on a different animal in the playoffs. And, like, the Bruins were – they were on cruise control. I mean, they woke up in the third period last night. What did they outshoot Ottawa in the third period? It was 2-0 Ottawa going into the third. Third period shots were 23-2 Boston. That was not the Boston team that the Capitals saw. So – look, take nothing away from the Caps. They needed wins. They got it. They didn't see the Lightning kind of dialed in. They didn't see the Bruins dialed in. And, you know, they were able to pick up a win against the Flyers, and circumstances helped them in that they got the empty net goal. The Rangers are not going to be on cruise control. The Rangers have their sights set on a Stanley Cup. They won the President's Trophy, and they're like, no curse. We're ending this curse. We believe we can win the Stanley Cup. They're going to be ready for Washington. This is going to be a challenge for the Capitals, particularly given the fact that they are short because they have some injuries. But that's why they play the games, right?
And it is true. You know, everybody says, well, look, you have a chance to get into the playoffs. You have a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
I don't know how many people feel that way about Washington.
Well, look, this will be, you know? if the Capitals beat the Rangers, then Spencer Carberry should get votes for Coach of the Year, but the votes will have already been cast. It will be one of the biggest upsets in recent time. I understand Columbus and the Lightning with the 62 wins, but the Columbus Blue Jackets of 2019 objectively were a stronger regular season team than this version of the Washington Capitals.
100%. That I agree wholeheartedly. Do we want to get a couple of questions here before we sign off?
Yeah, let's do it.
Anthony says, I want to see DeHaan play today to get some rhythm. Fleury was playing the best out of the 6D, if you exclude Lilleberg. Good thing it's a completely new season now. Two teams tonight who play completely, he said, completely distracted? Two teams tonight who play completely distracted because of two historic numbers.
Yeah, they're going to be looking to get Matthews goal 70, and the Lightning are looking to get Cooch assist number 100. So it may be a weird game from that standpoint. Look, if the Lightning are that short at the forward position, I would not be surprised if DeHaan is in tonight.
Yeah.
And the fan makes a good point. Give him another game. Give him a rep in case he is called upon in the playoffs and early in the playoffs.
Anthony says, in my impression, Bruins and Leafs fans breathe a little easier today. It's going to be a big challenge to play the second-best defensive team in the league. Big boys need to absolutely carry this team. Giving up these easy goals in front of net against Florida is unacceptable.
So, first of all, they are number one now. They've actually passed Winnipeg by a whisker. And I'm not sure. So, the Panthers are done, of course. Winnipeg have another game? I'm just curious if they have a chance to finish with the lowest.
You know, Winnipeg have another game now.
So Winnipeg has a game left. It's 2.41 for Florida, 2.42 for Winnipeg. So if Winnipeg's last game, they hold the other team to two or less, they might actually finish first. His point is a good one, though. The Panthers are an excellent defensive team. And, well, I believe that if you make mistakes in front of your own net against any team, you're asking for trouble. It is especially true against the Panthers because they are very dangerous offensively and they are an excellent defensive team. But what did we say on yesterday's show? I think the quality of the opponent should certainly and hopefully will get the Lightning's attention and force them to play with a very high attention to detail. Because when they play that way, they can be very tough defensively as well.
That is true, and We're going to end on this one because it's funny. Noel Time says, Greg, start the off-season content. We're screwed. Worst matchup possible.
Yeah, this is why they play the games, though. Look, is it possible the Lightning are going to have a quick exit in this playoff series? Of course it's possible. But they call it a new season for a reason. And this is a different matchup than Rangers-Capitals, where the Caps, through the bulk of the season, they've played a lot of subpar hockey. And they are taking on a very, very strong team, and they have a major injury. Missing Jensen is important for Washington. I'm using that series as a comparison, as if to say, if the Capitals do well in that series, the shock level will be higher than if the Lightning do well against the Panthers. Having said that, I will be very surprised if there are any, like, quote-unquote experts who are picking series who pick the Lightning. Based on where the Panthers went last year, all the way to the Stanley Cup final, based on the season they've had this year, they are one of those teams people are looking at, and like, they had a great season, they're a strong team, they're poised to take the next step. It's going to be a tough series, but I'm picking Florida. And I think a lot of Lightning fans feel the same way, which is why they are coming into the series saying, oh, I wish we would have gotten Boston. Be careful what you wish for. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, that's for
in
sure.
The series.
I mean, you could say that for any series, but I love Carolina's matchup with the Islanders. They're just going to have their hands full. That's a series I could see going pretty quick. Five.
I do think Carolina is poised to take another step forward this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. Impressive team. But
if not now, when?
Yeah.
You got Gensel to kind of round out now the scoring. I mean, I guess, you know, goaltending is always going to be a question.
The one thing I'll
say about
the Islanders, though, like the Islanders that faced the Lightning in 2020 and 2021, they haven't had like a ton of turnover, honestly. That's what I was saying. Like, they aren't really a young team. I mean, look at the team that the Lightning beat in 2021. We'll say the second one. Barzell's still there. Nelson's still there. Pelech's still there. Pulak's still there. The line with Cizikas and Clutterbuck and Martin, they're still there. Palmieri's still there. Dobson is elevated.
They're older.
They're older, but they have they have playoff seasoning. They do. They're not as good a defensive team as when Barry Trotz was coaching them, though. They're not.
So, is Barry Trotz going to coach them for that game?
I think Barry Trotz has his attention set on who the Nashville Predators are going to play. And it'll either be the Dallas Stars or the Vancouver Canucks, depending on. They're wild card one, Nashville.
Yeah.
So that'll be a very interesting matchup because the Predators, as I mentioned, they've been one of the best teams in the NHL in the second half of the year.
That is true. Well, we'll talk more about it tomorrow.
Yep.
I'll see you at the rink tonight, home game. And maybe we'll see some history.
I hope so.
Kind of go from there.
Yeah.
Partner, great job. Thank you. Thanks to Chris Gren, who joined us. Thanks to Steve Ersnick, Austin Wright, our broadcast assistant. I'm Greg Linnelli. You've been listening to Power Lunch on Lightning Radio.